Hilchos Matana, Halacha Gimel, Ois Hei. We said that this halacha is based so far on two Torahs on Likutei Moran. Number one, Rav Enizal is talking about the chapter on Likutei Moran where he speaks about the concept of the Oitzar Matnas Chinam, that Hashem has the ability to give for free in certain cases, and that's what he uses to sustain Rishoyim, Olahavdol Goyim, etc. And we showed how that's dependent on the Tzaddik, that no Russia has the right to go direct to there to get. He's got to get it through the tzaddik. And then also, the last piece that we just covered, Rav Enizal addressed and touched on the chapter on the Likutei Moran that happens to be related to Tisha B'Av in the 9 days, the topic of the Mo'irei Oir versus the Mo'irei Esh, light versus fire, and several different examples of it. And now we're continuing. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, "V'zeh b'chinas Mordechai v'Esther." This is also tied into the heroes of the story of Purim, Mordechai and Esther. Shehem b'chinas Roish Bayis. In that time in the Likutei Moran, Rav Enizal uses the title Roish Bayis as a nickname for the tzaddik. Roish Bayis means literally master of the house, head of the household, in a sense, which is a nickname that Rav Enizal gives to the Tzaddik Emes, which is mentioned in the Tikkuni Zohar also. The Tikkuni Zohar says that the word Bereshis is actually these two words, Roish Bayis. And it's emphasizing this point that there is a Tzaddik in every generation, and the whole world is dependent on a Tzaddik. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to show how the words Roish and Bayis are a combination of Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai hu bechinas roish, k'moy shem razal, Mordechai min ator minayim, shenemar mord roer, v'targumoy mord chaya. Mordechai is the one who represents roish, because the Gemara asks a question, where do we find Mordechai mentioned in the Chumash? So the Gemara says, I'll show you. Among in the Ketores, where it speaks about the 11 spices, one of the spices was called mord roer. And the targum on the word mord roer is mori dachya. You put it together, it's Mordechai. The Zebechinas Roish. And this particular spice is a concept of the leader of all the spices. Kemo Shekoso Shom, as it says in the Pasuk, V'ato Kach Lecho Bibsamim Roish. Hashem said, select for yourselves the top of the line of the spices. So we see that Mordechai, who is Bechinas Mordor, is Bechinas Roish, Bibsamim Roish. He's connected, plugged into Roish. The Esther, he bechinas bias. Esther Amalko, we see, is given the nickname bias. Kamay Shekosov, Lekocho, Mordechai, Loi Labas. It says that Mordechai took Esther for a daughter. And the Gemara says, Vedor Shrazal, Al Tikri Labas, Elo Labias. He didn't take her as a daughter, he took her as his house, which means his wife. Beso Izuishto. So we see that the Gemara calls Esther bias. And the Pasuk in Chumash calls Mordechai Roish. They're the two tzaddikim who make up the Roish bias of the story of Purim. Ki Esther, hi bechinas habeis hamikdosh, shu bechinas malchus ki adua. Esther Amalko is the symbol of the beis hamikdosh, which is the malchus of Kiddusha. It's the symbol of the palace of Hashem, kaviyachu, the malchus. The Zohar HaKadosh brings that the word Esther is bigimatria shoshana. Shoshana is a rose. And the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Kishoshana bein hachoichim, kein rayosi bein abonois. As a rose among the thorns, so too are the Jewish people among the 70 wolves, the nations, so too is the Shekhinah among all the klippas, that kind of thing. So we see Esther is Bechinas Beis HaMikdash, which is Malchus. Kamar Shekosav, as the Pasuk says, Mikdosh Hashem koinenu yodecho, Hashem yimloich le'olam voed. Hashem, with your hands, you establish the Beis HaMikdash. May Hashem rule forever. The two are put together because the Beis HaMikdash is the center of the Malchus of Hashem also. Nimtzo Shabeis HaMikdash Ubechinas Malchus Bechinas Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Kimuvo. It's brought that the Beis HaMikdash represents Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. If I'm not mistaken, there's something about the number of windows in the Beis HaMikdash. Kale Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Second 64? No. I don't remember it by heart, but there's something about the number of windows in the Beis HaMikdash being something Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And that's one of the connections to show that that's the Beis HaMikdash. וזהו בחינס אסתר שהיא גם כן בחינס מלכוס ותלבש אסתר מלכוס. When it says that Esther Malka put on her royal robes, it says מלכוס. והמון הראשו הוא כנגדם. Homon is the opposite of them. He represents Malchus the Klipa. Ki hu bechinas roish kol chutzos. In that chapter when they put him on, Rav Enizal talks about the tzaddik emes being the roish bayis, the master of the house. And then you have the guy who's king of the streets. The streets represents the place where the bums hang out. The gutter, that kind of thing. And there's also a roish. It's called the roish kol chutzos. That's who Homon is. Bechinas reishis goyim amolek. We see that the Torah applies the term roish also among the nations to one particular nation, Amolek, which is who Haman comes from. Ve'ikar reishisoy v'sgabrusoy al oison shehem mi bechutz l'kedusha. We mentioned earlier that who are the ones that Haman was really after? Not the tzaddikim, he knows he can't do any harm to them. He's after the stragglers, those that are outside the boundary of Kiddusha. Ki Amolek hizgaber rak al oison shehoyo he'onon poilton. When the Jews traveled in the Midbar, they had a protective covering. They had the seven clouds around them and on top of them and under them. Nobody, they were the untouchables. The only ones that were touchables were the ones that were outside the Anani HaKovei. There were some Jews that were on such a low level, the Erev Rav and others, that the Anani HaKovei wouldn't accept them in yet. That's who Haman was after. That's why it says, "Vayizani b'chol kol ha-necheshole machrecho." He attacked the tail of the Jews, the ones that were all the way in the back. V'alkein mikro roish kol chutzos. This is why Haman is given this nickname, the leader of the chutzos. Chutzos means the streets, the yards, like, and chutz also means outside, those that are outside the boundary of kedusha. Ki heim mi bechutz l'anani HaKovei, sheheim bechinas sukkah, ki yadua. Because we're talking here about those people who weren't privileged to get inside the Anani HaKovei, to be included in the Anani HaKovei, to be included in the sukkah, but rather they were rejected. They were kept outside the Anani HaKovei. V'sukkah hi bechinas habeis hamikdosh. The concept of a sukkah is also the concept of Beis HaMikdosh, Shenikra Sukkas Sholem. When we say on Friday night, Hapoyres Sukkas Sholem, Oleinu Balko Yisrael, the Ufrois Oleinu Sukkas Shloimecho means that Hashem should give us the Beis HaMikdosh. Shemishom Iker Binyan Habatim V'Dirois Yisrael. That's the ultimate house of Klal Yisrael. Of Klal Yisrael, upon which all Jewish homes are dependent on and tied into. We have the law in Shulchan Aruch that a Jew who builds a house is supposed to leave one part unfinished as long as Hashem's house is unfinished. So we see that the Beis HaMikdash is the whole foundation of all Jewish homes. V'bechinas v'yakov nosas sukoiso v'yivin loy bayis. There's a pasuk in Chumash where it says that Yaakov Avinu traveled to a place called Sukkos, and there he built a house. Ukemuvon bedivrei Rabbeinu Zal, and as Rabbeinu Zal brings in one chapter in the Kutimran, b'chein b'atur bereishis and al nemalin in Sukkos, that these two go together, the sukkah, which symbolizes the Anani HaKovod, which corresponds to the Beis HaMikdash. Upon that is dependent all the Jewish homes. When Yaakov Avinu came to Sukkos, that's when he was able to build a bayis. Our batim are dependent on the sukkah, which means the Beis HaMikdosh. And for those who are familiar with Kabbalah terms, even though sukkah typically is bina, there's 8 days of sukkah. And very often we say that the sukkah represents bina, which is ima de misakeches al benohon, the mother who hovers over her children, like the sukkah covers us up. Sukkah is also used, the Bnei Sukkah, or other Mephoshim bring that sukkah also represents malchus. The word sukkos, if I'm not mistaken, is begimatria malchus, exactly. Samach vov, chof, tof. No, it's 400 and 60 and 80. Maybe with the two vavs, I don't remember exactly, but there's a gematria there of Malchus, that the sukkah represents both Shechinas, the upper Shechina and the lower Shechina, Bina and Malchus. And here we're emphasizing that the Beis Hamikdash represents the center of Malchus of Chidusha. So now Rabbi Nosson Zal says, "Kemuvan lemi shehoya oz beis shenemar Torah zois." And this chapter of Likutei Maran that we're learning now, that we're touching on now, the chapter which deals with the Mo'irei Oyer and the Mo'irei Yesh and Shabbos, and it deals with the Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Nosson Zal says was clearly also referring to the holiday of Sukkos. Nimtzo shekol oison Yisrael shoyu b'toych hanani akovoid. Therefore, the conclusion is, all those Jews that were included within the clouds that traveled with the Jews in the desert, heim b'soich bayis ugvul hakdusha, they are considered those that are taken into the house of Hashem, in quotes. They're included within the house or within the boundary of Kedusha. V'nichlolim b'haroish bayis. They are considered included under the supervision and the administrative power of the Rosh Bayis, the Tzadik Emes, who's called the Rosh Bayis. He's responsible for the entire Bayis. Bayis means the gardens around it, the driveway, everything that's around the Bayis. Avol Eilu Shehoye Ha'onon Poilton. But those people who are rejected by the clouds, they weren't worthy of being included within the Anani HaKovoy. Shehem Michutz LaMachne, Michutz LaBayis HaKdusha. Al Eilu Mizgaber Homan Amolek. Those are the ones who Homan Amolek tries so hard to attack. Veroitzelios Roish Kol Chutzois Lekoyv Shem Chasushom Tachas Memshaltoi. He wants to be chief of the streets. He wants to be the Roish Kol Chutzois and to include them as his members. He wants them as part of his club, his organization. They should be Tachas Memshaltoi, under his authority. Livli Lahanichom Lo Shuvel Hashem, to prevent them from doing tshuva, lo shuv l'toich machne akdusha, to prevent them from getting inside the bias of kedusha, the machne of kedusha. Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom, shu b'chinas ha-tzadik u'emes shebechol dor, Moshe Rabbeinu, who represents the tzadik of each generation, who loichem tomit melchemes ha-molek, he's constantly waging this war against Amalek. Bishvil lahatzil elu hoavnei kodesh, in order to rescue these holy stones, these holy neshamos, hanishpochim umizgalgalim b'roish kol chutzos, which are splattered all over the streets. That's the expression that's used in Echa. Tishtapechno avnei kodesh b'roish kol chutzos, that the holy stones of the Beis Hamikdash of the Jewish homes were splattered in the streets. The Sifrei Kabbalah say that the Avnei Kodesh there refers to the Neshamos. The Neshamos are these building blocks of the Shechina. Just like you have stones that build a house, the Jewish Neshamos represent these Avnei Kodesh that were splattered in the streets. Kama Shekosu, Tishtapechno, Avnei Kodesh, Baroish Kol Chutzos. So what does the Tzaddik try to do for these Neshamos that are out in the streets? Lohitziyom, Merishus Amolek, Lachnisom el Beis HaKdusha, to get them out of Haman's jurisdiction, out of Haman's clutches, and to be permitted to invite them into the house, into the Beis of Kedusha. V'alkein zois hamelchomo himelchomo koshe ugedoilo mikol hamelchomo sheboilam. Therefore, this is the ultimate war. It's not the war games that are being played in Lebanon, which is serious. Rahman al-Islam, two Jews were killed. It's a terrible tragedy. But that's called child's play compared to the real battle, the battle between the tzaddikim versus the sitra achra to rescue these neshamos, those Jewish neshamos that are distant, that the satan just has to exert a little extra muscle and he'll knock them out completely. And the tzaddik is wrestling him in every generation to try to get those neshamos into the kedusha.
It's hanging out. It's literally hanging out of the kedusha.
100%. And you see it. This expression, hanging out in the street, you know, go out in the streets, street gangs. That term street is chutzos. That's this term that's used here. Roish kol chutzos versus roish bayis. The house is considered a place of dignity and a place of privacy and a place. And in the streets means you know, the opposite.
Herev and Rehov are the same letters.
Excuse me?
Herev and Rehov are the same letters.
Ooh, that's right. Here, the sword, and the word rechov, that the streets are deadly. Exactly, that's the word. But I'll tell you something that's the same gematria. There's a pasuk where
my neighbor training said that. I didn't give the guy's name training.
There's a pasuk where it says, I'll tell you something similar to this. There's a pasuk where it says, Shalom, Shalom, Omar Hashem, La Rochoik Vela Koroiv, Urifosiv. I'm sorry. Shalom, Shalom, La Rochoik Vela Koroiv, Omar Hashem, Urifosiv. Hashem says, peace, peace, to the one who is distant and to the one who is close, I say, and I will cure him. There's a couple of questions here. Hashem doesn't stutter. Why do you say Shalom, Shalom? Secondly, if there's a Koroiv and a Rochoik, who do you greet first? Which guy do you greet first? The guy that's closer or the guy that's further away? Question number three is, what's Urifosiv, singular, and I will cure him? Who's the him? The Zohar HaKadosh says that this pasuk is talking about one guy. It's talking about a person who was originally distant and became close. And there's nothing that gives Hashem more nachas than that. That when people who are raised religious, and that, fine, it's nice, but it's not impressive. Impressive is a person who came from the other side completely and saw and tasted. The Sultan gave him the best restaurant, gave him all the bologna, gave him his finest. And this person on his own, or however Hashem helps him, the person ends up tearing himself out of the clutches of the Sitra Achra and comes and joins the Kedusha, comes Koroiv, that Hashem says twice Shalom. That's a double Shalom, Urifosiv, and I guarantee him that I'll cure him. The Zohar HaKadosh says, how do we know we're talking about the same guy? Because the word LaRochik is exactly Begimatria Vela Koroiv. The two words that are the distant guy and the same guy, the numerical value is one. It's the same guy we're talking about. That's the one whom we're talking about, that Hashem says, I promise you, Urifosiv, that he won't, there'll be nothing left. He'll be cured completely, completely. You shouldn't think that, well, there's certain things in my past that I could never let check it. There's no such baloney. Everything, not just drugs, all the effects on the neshama. There's no such, Ki Amolek Shehua Baldovor, because Amolek, who is synonymous with the Soton, Me'arve Vesoilam, confuses the world, Ad She'yefshur Bishum Oifen Leida Ho'emes Seichenhu, to the point where it becomes impossible to figure out where's the truth, which is the real tzaddik, which is the real shul, which is the... Ki Hasheker Mizdame Le'emes Bechol Habchinois, because the false item is able to emulate perfectly the truth. It's able to offer all the same benefits, all the same highs, everything. V'zehu b'chinas chevloi shel Moshiach. This is the concept where the Gemara speaks about the terrible suffering that there's going to be during the time of Moshiach, when Moshiach's about to come. Shehua kategoria ben atamid hachomim, referring to the machloikis that there's going to be among the religious Jews, not just religious Jews, among Tamid HaChomim, the elite of the religious Jews, there's going to be machloikis there. And that's going to be the hardest part, because what are we supposed to do? If they make themselves look bad to us, they're all fighting, how in the world am I supposed to, number one, have respect for them, and number two, go figure out which one's on top? There's a brawl, a street brawl. 40 guys are laying on top of each other. Go figure out who's on top. Who's the toughest guy? Can you figure it out? V'hatikun lazeh hu rak. So what's the tikkun? Tikkun is you got to go to college, and then postgraduate, and then become a genius to figure it out. That's what you would think. That's probably what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to become super geniuses. The opposite. The exact opposite. V'hatikun lazeh. Hurak tmimus upshitas. The only way in the world that you have a shot at figuring this out, at figuring out who's honest and who's dishonest, and who's right and who's wrong, and who's bigger, is if you yourself are going to become a real, sincere, honest, simple person, where your yes is yes, and you know you don't cheat anybody. You're really honest with yourself and everybody around you, and you're straight. You're not crooked. You don't do anything with crookedness. Shemi sheroitze lochus al nafsho. A person who wants to take pity on his own soul. Leval toiva tikvose chasashom. Not to lose any chance of hope. Kifi mashikol echad yodea benafsho nigei levovo imachoivov. As each and every one of us knows all of our illnesses and diseases and stains that we have on us, that person has to make it their business to conduct themselves with the utmost of simplicity and straightness, honest, but to daven on, to do everything honest, to eat honest, and to talk to people honest, and to do mitzvahs honest, not for show, not for fun, no baloney. Not to fool anybody, especially not to fool yourself. V'lizoik ma'oid l'Hashem Yisborach, and to scream a lot to Hashem, sheyoyrehu ho'emes lamitoi, that Hashem should teach me, Hashem should show me what's the real truth. Sheyeda b'mi lehizdabek, so that Hashem should guide me to know who I should attach myself to, ba'oifin sheyizge lo shuv elov Yisborach emes, so that I should succeed at doing a real, honest tshuva. This is what Rabbeinu Zal writes in that chapter in Likutei Moran. What's the tikkun for all of this jazz? The Rosh Kol Chutzos and the Mo'irei Eish, the whole list of problems and all the different names that he gives it in that Torah in Likutei Moran. You know what the tikkun for the whole mess is? Lokum b'chatzos, to get up at midnight, and to really, really show that you're bothered by, you're affected by this Churban Beis Hamikdash, shegoram al yidei ma'asov, which I caused through my deeds. Because the Gemara says clearly that any Jew who's living in any generation where the Beis Hamikdash has not been built can know for sure that if the Beis Hamikdash was standing today, they would burn it down. In other words, the fact, it's either it was built today, otherwise the implication is that if it was standing today, they'd be burning it down today. Why? Because of me and you and him, because we're not worthy of having it yet. So therefore, each one of us has a piece of the action. And Rabbeinu Zal says in Likutei Moran that none of us know which one of us were around during the time of the Beis Hamikdash and were actually contributors, our Gilgulim. We actually contributed to Chas Hashem bringing the Beis Hamikdash down. There was a story with the Arizal that he met a certain person, a whole story, and he told the person that that person was the first one to throw a stone at Zechariah Novi. When they killed Zechariah, he was the first one to throw a rock at him. And this person was a big Talmud Chacham, and with his Chachma, he came to the conclusion that this Zechariah Novi deserves a punch in the mouth, period. So he threw the first rock, and the Arizal showed him what he had to do for his tikkun. And again, none of us has been told otherwise. None of us has been told that we weren't major contributing factors. So it's not as if when I say tikkun chatzos, I'm talking about those turkeys that lived 3,000 years ago that made this terrible mistake, and I'm being wonderful and gracious and nice in apologizing on their behalf. No such thing. We're saying it for us, for what we might have done then, and for what we're doing wrong today. Proof is that we don't have the base. Yesterday, the Beis Hamikdash wasn't rebuilt. So obviously, we're not yet, in Olam HaTikun. So Rav Nosson Zal writes, Ki kol hama'akev binyan Beis Hamikdash ki ilu hechrivoi. Because anyone who delays or gets in the way of the building of the Beis Hamikdash, it's as if he destroyed it. It's as if he burnt it down, Chas Hashem. Umi sheyisnaheg baderech hazeh, any person that will follow this path that's being suggested here now, bederech hayoshon asher dorchu boy avoseinu meolam, this old path which our forefathers used to do, dehainu lokum machatzois, which is to get up at midnight, ulefashvesh b'maasov, and to analyze my own deeds, to look into myself, ulehisabe al churban nafshoi v'nishmosoi, and to mourn my own destruction. Not to mourn what's messed up inside of me. Shegoram churban beis hamikdash, which caused the churban beis hamikdash, v'yitzak ma'oid l'Hashem Yisborach, koroi lo yitzak, and the person will scream to Hashem the way they need to scream. Kifi al nafsh, the yitzak ma'oid l'Hashem Yisborach, koroi lo yitzak al nafshoi, the way he needs to scream about his own soul. kefima sheyedea biatzmoi oifen ma'amat nishmosoi, as each one understands the status of his neshama, lehechon hayrida b'masov, how far down we've lowered our neshamos as a result of all of our misdeeds. If a person will do that, azai bevadai yizke leida ho'emes lamito. That person will definitely get to know the ultimate truth. Not maybe, not probably, it's a guarantee. This is the deal. Hashem promises that if a person will do, this is the hishtadlus. If a person will search, if a person will conduct himself, b'tmimus u'b'pshitus, and he'll scream, begging Hashem, hoireni Hashem darkecho, ahalech bamitecho, show me your truth. I don't want his truth. I don't want Moshe Yankel's truth. He says he's true, and he says he's true. I don't want their truths. Hashem, I want to know which one of them has amitecho, which one of them has unadulterated truth, undiluted truth, the real whole truth, and not, you know, nothing but the truth. If a person will daven to Hashem for that, especially at one of the most difficult times to do it, which is this business about getting up in the middle of the night. What's harder and more difficult than that? Than taking the time that the Sitra Achra is at its most powerful. Daytime is typically the time when it's easier to serve Hashem. Nighttime is the Satan's hour. And a person takes that, and right in the middle, when it's the hardest time, the person takes it and goes crunch, smash, take the night and split it in half. That's really smashing the Satan to smithereens. And if a person uses that time for this, to say these special tefillos, and lefashresh b'masav, to look in himself and talk about his own churban beis hamikdash. Beis hamikdash is the brain. The Gemara says, "Kol mi sheyesh bo ideya kilo nivna beis hamikdash v'yomav." If a person has brains, he's got the beis hamikdash. And if there's no beis hamikdash today, it means all of our brains are in the garbage. It means all of our brains need a big tickin. And if a person starts crying, you know, really feeling, trying to feel that, then Rav Nosson Zal says, guaranteed, bevadai, that person will be zecha to the emes lamitoi. Ki hechofetz be'emes, look at he's quoting a Gemara now. Ki hechofetz be'emes, because a person who wants the truth, moisran loy malach shel emes. The Gemara says they send him an angel of truth. Shem gives him the assistance that he needs to get to the emes. V'zeh b'chinas ma'she'osa Mordechai. This is exactly what Mordechai HaTzadik did, kishiro goydel memsheles Haman, when he saw how big Haman had gotten. Gidal hamelech HaChashverosh is Haman. Haman rose to the top of the ranks. Shehu b'chinas ha-roish kol chutzois kanal. This Haman, who is called the roish kol chutzois, she'oz ne'amar. What does it say in the Megillah? It says, u'Mordechai yoda es kol ha-shenaso. Mordechai understood what was happening. Ki Mordechai HaTzadik b'chinas roish bayis shebechol dor v'dor. Mordechai HaTzadik represents the leading tzadik of each generation. Yoidea es kol ha-shenaso b'olam. And these tzadikim don't just know what's going on in Mea Shearim, or they know what's going on in Milwaukee and in Italia and in spaghetti and in everywhere. They know what's going on everywhere in the world. Ech ha-Satan ma'arve v'sa'olam kuloi. They see how the Satan is mixing up the whole world, every country with its own mishigasim, with its own baloney, own nonsense. Ad she'i'efshir b'shum oifen leida hechno emes, to the point where it becomes just about impossible for a human being to figure out what's right, what's the truth. V'oz, and what does this tzaddik do about this? Vayikra Mordechai es begodov, he tears his clothing, like we're going to tear the clothing tonight, we're going to take off the paroches, off the Aron Kodesh. Vayetze b'soy choyir, and he goes screaming in the middle of the city. Vayizak zo'oko gedoilo umoro, he cries a great bitter cry. That's what the tzaddik does to fight this problem, to fight this whole issue. V'chein kol Yisroel haksherim, and so too it says in the Megillah that all the other religious Jews, whoever was religious, what did he do? Wherever they heard about the decree of Ahasuerus that he gave Haman permission to wipe out the Jews, what did they do? Avel Godoil Ayehudim. They made a major, major time of Avelus, mourning. They made Tisha B'Av. The Tzoim, they fasted. Ubechi, they cried. Umispeit, and they eulogized. Sak vo'efer yutzal rabim. They had sackcloth and ashes distributed to everybody. Vo'efer daiko. Why ashes? Lahachnia mo'irei esh. The ashes that they put on was to destroy the mo'irei esh, the power of fire which represents the sitrachra. Shel sheheim ha-mefursomim shel sheker. Mefursomim shel sheker are called mo'irei esh. Bechinas Roish Kol Chutzes Kanal. All of these people, and Rav Nosson Zal says in one place in the Kotei Halachos, here he's talking about within Klal Yisrael. Roish Kol Chutzes, there's Haman Amalek, which is the problem we have outside the Jewish people. But then there's this concept of Moirei Esh, and this concept of Roish Kol Chutzes inside Am Yisrael, which is Mefursamim Shel Sheker, people who put on a mantle of leadership, call themselves Jewish leaders, or have other people put them into positions of leadership which they're not worthy of. They don't deserve it. They know themselves that they're full of holes, their neshamas are full of holes and everything, and they don't belong in that chair, in that throne at all whatsoever. And because they're occupying the throne, they're blocking the true tzaddikim from getting onto that throne and doing what needs to be done. People that are famous.
But he's speaking about people who are, you say, taking the place of tzaddikim, it means that at one intents and purposes, they look like rabbis.
Yes. Yes, this could be rabbis during Rabbi Nosson Zal's time. He was talking about leaders in his generation, rabbis, exactly. And yet, they're blocking the tzaddik from doing what he's supposed to do in many cases. This doesn't mean that anybody that's not Vit Tzadik gets in the way of Vit Tzadik. No, there's some of them that know their place and they don't fight forever. But there's others who pretend to be the leader, Vit Tzadik, Vit this, when it's not true. And some of them know it's not true, and some of them convince themselves that it is true. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, at the end of Masechta Peah, that if a person, in order to collect charity, puts on a false pretense, he makes believe he's blind, or he makes believe he's crippled, or he makes believe he's whatever it is. The punishment for that is that he'll become blind, Chazon. He'll become crippled. He won't leave the world without it actually happening. Why? Because he's a liar, and Hashem doesn't like deception. So my Rebbe Zohar Nivroche asked, what about the guy who makes believe he's a tzaddik? What about he makes believe he's a rabbi? What's the punishment for him? He's going to become a rabbi. So let's do it. The answer is, his punishment is that when he starts out doing it, he knows it's make-believe. The punishment is that he's going to sell himself. He's going to convince himself that he's a rabbi or that he's a tzaddik. And there's nobody that's in worse trouble than that guy. That's the worst punishment of all. When a person convinces himself that he's religious or that he's a tzaddik before he is, what hope is there for that person? You're going to tell him he's not. Tell him he's not a tzaddik. That's the worst, that's the ultimate oinish. And again, that's the problem here. There are many people who, when they start with this, they know they're not, but there's a desire for kovoy, there's other things where they get pushed into it. Sometimes it's not even his fault. They got pushed into it. People accepted him as a leader, because again, there are some people who aren't sincere. They're not looking for somebody to tell them what to do, or certainly not for somebody who's going to change them in any way. Elamai, to be walking around to have a ship without any captain, everybody feels that's stupid. Nobody wants a shul without, although even today again, you have shuls that pride themselves that they have all the benefits of a shul, and the one minus, a rabbi, they got rid of. They did away with the rabbi bit. So you know, you have all the benefit, you can talk whenever you want, you can do whatever you want, and you don't have this guy standing over your head or looking at you, you know, funny, if you do anything wrong. So you're starting to say, so I'm saying, so some people, again, so that's totally abnormal, but the semi-abnormal, who don't want to be that rash, so they want to have, they need a chief, because again, if they don't have a chief, chas v'shalom, a real tzaddik will come along and become chief, and then he'll tell them what to do, and they'll mess up their lives. So what do? They pick Yankel Beryl, or they pick Joe, you know, and they make him the chief, whether he likes it or not. And at first, in the beginning, he's a little uncomfortable. He sees it doesn't fit. The thing they put on the crown and everything, and it doesn't fit. But after a while, he makes it fit, or he adjusts himself to it and everything. And this is very sad. It's sad for him. It's very sad for him. And it's sad for the people who did it to him and who did it to themselves. People are going to say, but I didn't know. You didn't know. You weren't honest. You were a liar. You were in shul. You were davening. You saw that you didn't have kavon in tefillah. You should have found a different shul. You should have. Who are you fooling? Who are you making a fool out of? Just cause the shul has nice carpeting and the air central air, and that's what it's all about. That's what you're supposed to be doing here. That's how you get close to Hashem. You know.
Does every door have to have a big tzaddik?
Yes.
Some doors that don't have a tzaddik.
No, that's one of the foundations of emuna that he mentions in a few different places here in the Kotel Oroz. There's an expression in the Gemara: Ein dor yosam. There's no such thing as a completely orphan generation. Elamai, the closer we get to the coming of Mashiach, the more hidden they become, the more difficult to find. That's the problem.
Who is this person today?
Each person has to look for themselves. This is a search that nobody can make it for you like. Nobody can tell you and that's it. You have to look yourself. You have to analyze and examine and weigh and pray that Hashem should open your eyes. You shouldn't be fooled. Lahavdil, I'll give you a silly example. Yesterday, I went to do a test on my car. You know, the test you have to do once a... So the test is in a certain place, and then the guy that does the test, the guy that does the test says that you have these one, you have to pray before you go into these places, because what's the odds that a guy being honest, and he's not just looking to find something so they can charge you for something. Okay, so we prayed a little, so we got in and we hope he's on. Then they do the test. You just have to replace this one wheel. So go right next door. They just opened up a place next door here. And the guy is having a miftza. You came just on, there's a miftza. Go in there and he'll fix you up. And tell him Shmerel sent you. Because why not? Tell him Shmerel. So it didn't smell good. It didn't smell good. And it didn't taste good. And I figured I'll do it. I want to see. I want to follow this through. I went to that place, and this guy said, he said one wheel is wrong. It's not one. You got to replace the two wheels, the two front wheels, and the spare. He looked at the spare, and the spare is also not so good. We'll make you a package. I said, but I don't have money now. Nope, no problem. Six payments. No problem. And the spare, he took the air out, the shit, everything. So I said, you know what? I want to go home first. All right, just leave the spare here, and you can. I want my spare, and I want to go home. P.S. Hashem help. Literally, Hashem help that I push, but gentle trickery. Because if I tell him I'm leaving, he can say something there. He say a curse at it. Gentle. Got my spare back. Didn't put it back where it was. Dumped it in the trunk. And he should have a picture on the wall that shows the rabbi, the picture in his office about the rabbi being Masada Kiddushin, chief rabbi of Hudson Flats, who was Masada Kiddushin fam and everything. P.S. got out of there with my pants on, Baruch Hashem, and went back to the other tire guy, to the tire guy that I use till now. Go in there. Unfortunately, the owners of the place are not religious. But it seems obvious to me that not religious, they weren't taught. These aren't guys who kicked religion. They never knew. They were raised in a place where they never knew anything about Yiddishkeit, period. But you come in, they're quiet, low-key, they're not twisting your arm from the first second. And I told them what the guy said, you know, I told them the spiel. Right away they could, you know, they said, we've heard about this before, that this thing is going on, and nothing. This is the way. And I told them, I'm giving you advice. You see, I'm here, right? So I'm telling you, if you'll do business honestly, you'll know your money's coming from Hashem, and you will get business. This guy twisted arm, and he didn't get the business. You know, you do it this way, you will get business. And it struck me a whole day yesterday, and even today, and I hope for the rest of my life, I'm going to have this picture in front of me of the emes and the sheker. It's all over, and you're fighting it every inch. Go figure it out. This guy, the other guys had no picture in the office of a rabbi with the long coat being Masada Kiddushin. They look like two zeros. And they're not zeros, they're Jews. You have no idea how big they are. They're not religious, they're not Shemesh Shabbos, not all baloney. It's all excusable. because they don't know and they didn't know, and it's going to come a time that they're going to know, and could be they're going to be 50 times more religious than all of us put together. And you have to pray. So if I saw it with tires, imagine if this is what's going on for selling tires, could you imagine when it comes to selling Gan Eden, how much thievery and how much cheating and how much baloney is going on? How much fake salesmanship is going on?
When you said tzaddik ador, that means this is like the main tzaddik who knows the whole deal.
Correct.
So, I mean, like, that, the guy is like, the average guy is just not going to find him if he's a hidden guy. I mean, if you advertise Coca-Cola on every store, on every street, you know you should drink Coca-Cola.
Correct. So for starters, they just gave you one of the most important clues in searching. Don't look for the neon signs. Don't look for the Coca-Cola and everything, because that's probably not him. If you're looking for a guy who's wearing a turquoise coat with the blinking lights and he's got the silver pipe, probably not. I'm saying it funny. It's not fun.
Believe you.
You would say, if this is all written, how come they're wearing the turquoise coat? The answer is they can't help themselves. Person who's a liar, we say in the Haggadah, Rosho Mahu Oimer and Chocho Mahu Oimer. The Rosho, what he is, he says, he speaks. If you listen to his words carefully, you'll hear in his words that he's a Rosho. He can't hide it perfectly. But 1 second. But in order to be qualified, to be able to detect it in him, you got to first fix yourself. That's the point that he made here. That if you will make a conscious decision for yourself that you want to run your life with real tmimus and pshitus, you're not going to fool anybody else, you're certainly not going to fool yourself, then that's going to be one of the first prerequisites to make sure that nobody fools you. In order for nobody to be able to fool you, you got to make sure not to fool yourself. Not to say you're religious before you're religious. Not to say you're davening shachris before you're davening shachris. Not to say you're. That's one of the prerequisites. And there's billions of levels. There's infinite levels of this. And there's no. If it were impossible, then Hashem wouldn't have done it. There's a statement in Gemara: Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu bo b'trunim riyos. If Hashem wanted the average guy to fail, what kind of Hashem is he? That's not what he wants. Hashem wants the average guy to find the tzaddik and everything. Elamai, if he made it, if there were a sign, if the guy were a sign, I am the leading tzaddik, then Hashem couldn't give you Gan Eden and couldn't do other things for it. There's got to be free choice. He's got to create a situation where good and bad are matched perfectly, literally perfectly matched, and it's up to you to purify yourself to the point where you have it in you to figure out which door the tiger comes out of and which door has the gold chest.
Does it have to be like a tzaddik or rusha? Like there are probably some very fine and big tzaddikim who are not the main ones.
Yes, that's another level.
What about just finding them?
Also very important and very necessary.
And they'll lead you to the greater
Sometimes yes, and sometimes not. Sometimes they don't know. The perfect example, the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik. He was the chief, and they were second in command. And they came to the conclusion that it's a mitzvah to kill him. Not the regular guy on the street. The regular guy on the street didn't go out and buy a weapon to blow him away. The second in command, the second level chiefs, figured out with the Gemara, with the Shulchan Aruch, that you know what? He's a dead man. He's the best guy to blow away. Not Amalek, if we get rid of him, the whole world will be better off. And they were wrong. So it's a very difficult, it's a delicate issue. Because sometimes that wasn't the only time. There are other times in Jewish history with the Baal Shem Tov. There were people that said, Cherem, this guy, get him off the streets. He's a menace to society. He's a menace to society. How many hundreds of thousands of people today are Jewish and didn't intermarry and didn't because of him, because of this menace? This is the deal.
About the idea that Hashem leads to the Chira, you can see that Yaakov knew that
Yosef right.
was a tzaddik, and he kept his mouth shut. Why? Because
knew?
He couldn't take the Bechir away from his own son.
Exactly.
That's the archetype Raya, how it has to be for all of the world.
Exactly. He's showing.
So he's that as we're acquiring this authenticity and truth of not fooling ourselves, we also fake it in trying to attach and model and mimic other people.
That, here again, imagine he's throwing another curve, another monkey wrench into this. Then on one hand, Rabbeinu Zal says in Likutei Moran that if a person isn't happy, sometimes in order to get yourself out of depression, the only way to do it is make believe you're happy. Even when you're unhappy, I'm honestly unhappy, I have to put on a false face of happiness as a means of just getting myself out of the ditch. And sometimes when I start out faking it, I get into it, and I get into being really happy. That's one of the etzos that's given for simcha. So in a sense, I'm not even free to say, you know what, it's simple. Just cut out all sheker from your life completely. Even here, for the emes, you need sheker. Yaakovino had to use trickery in dealing with so in other words, even the tzaddik has to use the sheker. It's not just obliterate the sheker completely. You have to know how to play with it. You have to know how to play the game, in quotes.
Isn't what they being Makadosh sheker?
Yes, they're making a tikkun for the sheker. That itself has yes, 100%, not can, must. I'm giving an example, a concrete, practical example. Right? This is still more difficult.
So what the Rebbe says, if you don't know what to believe in, so believe in everything, at least you believe in the right things also.
Ah.
As opposed to being a chacham, and I'm not going to believe it until I understand it.
Also true. Between the atheist and the religious non-Jew, the religious non-Jew is even better than the one who doesn't believe at all. Different level of...
Better to practice it and then learn about it rather than just say, well, I'm not going to practice it until I know
Until I understand it. Until I understand it. Exactly. Let's try to finish this piece. Just a second. Where are we? right. Vaydezeh zochu lo b'chinas hanal. And as a result of what the Yidden did at that time, that they put on this sackcloth, they went through that bit of mourning, the avelus, the Tisha B'Av, as a result of that, zochu lo b'chinas hanal, b'chinas losum l'avelei tzion pe'er tachas sefer. They got Hashem to replace their ashes, their ether, with pe'er, with beauty, with tefillin, with moichin, with rosh bayis. Shezel b'chinas ma shezochu achakach shenofal homon b'fnei Mordechai. They succeeded in toppling homon before Mordechai. U'Mordechai, shehu harosh bayis o'emes. Mordechai hatzadik, who was the true rosh bayis, yotzo me'lifnei ha'melech, Belavush Malchus Tcheles Vohur. He ended up being zeicha to wear the royal robes, Shehem Mechinas Pe'er, Klolius Hagavne, and he was zeicha to all the beauty, the Zehu, La Yehudim Hoysa Oira, Bechinas Moire Oira. The victory of Purim was La Yehudim Hoysa Oira, that the light won out against the fire. Originally there was Avelis for the Jews, mourning, ashes. The only way you make ashes is with fire, right? And in the end, they turned around the ashes to oil. They switched the Moirei Ish into Moirei Oil.